Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Open Language. I'm Diana.
And I'm Adam.
So today we've got an upper intermediate lesson talking about another one in the Zodiac series.
We must be almost done.
Yeah, we're very close.
So this is the second to last sign in the Zodiac.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Pisces.
Exactly. The fish.
The fish. Okay, so guys, I know this word, it kind of looks like pisces.
Pisces,
but Pisces.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not pieces. Pisces. All right, so as always, we will be splitting this piece into two parts. So let's go ahead and listen to the first.
All right. Pisces is the old soul of the zodiac. As the final sign, it is said to have experienced the energy of every other sign before it. Pisces are sensitive and intuitive, and can become easily overloaded by crowds or overstimulating environments. It's often hard to pin them down, since they're so keen on swimming away to a place where they can experience some downtime and R&R. They may gain a reputation as flaky due to the way they swim in and out of your life. Okay, since we're talking about the fish, Pisces, today, we're probably going to, you know, throw in lots of fish language.
Swimming puns.
Swimming puns. A lot of them we don't really mean to, but you might catch a few of them just for fun.
Yeah. All right, Adam, so diving right in. First, we've got Pisces is the old soul of the zodiac.
The old soul. Okay, so I know for a fact we have a lot of old souls amongst our open language listeners.
Mm-hmm. And what would that be?
Well, okay, it doesn't mean you're old. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, it's not saying that you are old in years. It just means that your soul or your mind or your spirit or that part of you that isn't your body is just a little bit older than, other people your age.
Right. Sometimes I think people would even say an old soul is wise beyond their years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. And I mean, when you're adults, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of when you're kids that this is very apparent, right?
Right, right. So Pisces are sensitive and intuitive.
Intuitive. Okay, fun little word to say there. Mm-hmm. You can say it with us if you want. Intuitive.
Right, so this is going to be our first expansion word.
All right, so how can we use it?
Well, so intuitive means that it kind of has to do with like a sixth sense, a gut feeling.
A sixth sense or a gut feeling, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You kind of know it without actually thinking about it.
Well, that's it, right? It is a type of understanding that's not based on logic or reason. I guess we could probably say that, half the world, they understand by thinking and the other half kind of understands by feeling.
Right, right. All right. So we could say, for example, I've got an intuitive sense that he's up to no good.
Okay. All right. So you don't know for sure that he's up to no good.
Yeah.
But, that Adam's always up to no good.
You got a feeling.
You got a feeling about this. Okay. And I guess another way I would use this is in its noun form, which is intuition.
Mm.
And one way I often hear this word is a woman's intuition.
Is it different than a man's intuition?
I don't think men aren't really that intuitive, right? I mean, that's another way you could use intuitive. Like, again, men are kind of, A is B, B is not C.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Right, right.
Sleep. But a woman's intuition, is, again, that's based on feeling, based on emotion. And a lot of people say that it is one of the strongest forces on the planet.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Now, another way we could use intuitive is to describe, especially nowadays, we live in a very high-tech world.
Mm.
So if you say that something is intuitive, it means that this technology or software is very easy to use.
Ah, yes.
Very easy to understand. So, for example, the more intuitive and addicting a game is, the quicker it'll rise to popularity.
Okay, so that is probably one of the more modern ways you'd you know, hear this word.
Exactly. So because Pisces are sensitive and intuitive, they can become easily overloaded by crowds or overstimulating environments.
Okay, so lots of over here.
Yes.
Overloaded.
Yes, so kind of overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Uh-oh, there's lots of overs.
Yeah.
You know what? Since we have so many overs here, why don't we go over to that grammar section and we'll just put them all right there.
Exactly.
Just because they all kind of mean the same thing, like too much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So overloaded just kind of means like there's too much of a load. Like, for example, it's too heavy
mm-hmm.
on an elevator.
Right.
It's very embarrassing when you get onto that elevator. It's very, very crowded already.
Yeah.
And then the door just won't close. You
because know, you got on.
Too fat, too fat. And then you have to get off. Very embarrassing. But
right.
that's what it is, right? The elevator has overloaded.
Mm-hmm. So now overstimulating is basically too much stimulation.
Right. So stimulation here could be anything, right? Sights, sounds, mm-hmm. smells.
Right. Now, another word you might often hear is overbearing.
Oh, yeah. Especially when it comes to parents,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Maybe in-laws, too.
Oh, your in-laws. Yeah, exactly. So an overbearing parent or in-law here is it's the same thing. Bearing means like carrying weight,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's going to be like, Mom, you're too fat. You smoke too much.
Yeah.
Oh, your job isn't good enough. Blah, blah,
you
blah, blah, blah.
You don't earn enough money.
Exactly. You're not good enough for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about the overbearing in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
Back to our fishy friends, the Pisces. it is often hard to pin them down, isn't it?
Yes, because they're so keen on swimming away.
So much swimming here.
Yeah.
So pin down, we did talk about this not too long ago.
Mm.
Basically what we said before was it's just hard to define them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was in the Valentine's Day lesson.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So in that lesson, we basically talked about pinning someone down in a more figurative sense.
Mm.
But here, it's a little bit more literal. Not exactly pinning them to the floor.
Okay.
But maybe you can't really get a hold of them.
Right.
Because they're always busy, or like this lesson says here, they're keen on swimming away.
Okay. Keen on swimming away. I've always liked this word keen.
Yeah.
When Diana and I were prepping for this lesson, I discovered that one use of this word keen is actually something we only say in Canada. I thought everybody said it.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Keener.
Keener.
Right? Keener. Somebody who really is, eager or enthusiastic.
Well, that does make sense because if you are keen on something, it means that you are eager about it.
Yeah.
That's one of the meanings.
Yeah. You're pretty likely to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case here, you know, keen on swimming away just means that, again, you can't pin them down because they're likely or eager to... that's my swimming noise. Swim away.
Right. But of course, we can use this in many other ways.
Mm.
I actually didn't even realize this. You could describe your eyesight or your mind as keen.
A lot of senses, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it always means like sharp.
Yeah, you have sharp eyesight.
Really, really good, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Even just like a keen sense of whatever also makes sense. Like a keen sense of fashion, a keen sense of anything.
Right, right. That's true. Now, the other thing is you can be keen on something or someone in terms of you are interested.
Okay. And yeah, keen on a person kind of means like you have a crush on them, right?
Oh, crazy crush.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy crush. Yeah, pretty keen on that. I was going to say guy, but I probably shouldn't say that.
You can say whatever.
Keen on that person over there. There's one other thing that I always like to say, which is keenly aware. So now we're switching over to an adverb for a second. But if you're keenly aware of something, then you know it absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm keenly aware of this situation.
Yeah, very aware, right. So they're so keen on swimming away, but where to?
Well, a place where they can experience some downtime and some R&R.
All right. So downtime is Actually, someone recently asked what downtime is.
Okay.
So funny that it should appear again in this lesson.
Interesting.
Right. So it basically just means time that you can relax, that you're not working.
You're not working.
You're not going to school. You know, I guess commute, your commute could be considered downtime.
It depends, right? Because a lot of, like a lot of HR people kind of look at downtime as specifically unproductive time.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, you can be working from 9 to 5, but if you're only productive from, you know, 1 to 3,
right.
I mean, the rest of it might be downtime. Or, for example, if, you know, the computer is broken and you can't do your work, well, that's downtime.
That's true. Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's just this kind of idea of unproductive.
Mm-hmm. Well, also for us, not for the HR department, but for the rest of us, downtime is, you know, time to go on vacation.
Right.
Spend time with friends and family. So it's like leisure time.
Sure. So I guess back to your commuting question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be downtime. A lot of people, you know, when they're on vacation, when they're on the subway, they're still working.
That's true.
So, guys, you got to just relax a bit.
So speaking of relaxing, R&R stands for rest and relaxation.
Okay, so two great R's. Mm-hmm. There are a few more if you can think of them. For example, reading is pretty good.
Yeah.
Ravioli is delicious.
Yeah.
But probably two is enough for now. So why don't we move on to one downside of the Pisces?
All right. So they may gain a reputation as flaky due to the way they swim in and out of your life.
Okay, those flaky fish. this is a great word, flaky.
Yeah.
Or a person is a flake.
Yeah. So in terms of like foods, because I think it probably came from the food.
Okay.
A flaky texture is basically when something kind of crumbles or it's easy to crumble.
Okay.
And so if something crumbles, it's not very solid.
Right.
So you can use this to describe someone who's not very solid in terms of them not being very reliable.
Right. They don't stick to their commitments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So I think that's a great way to look at it. So let's start with food then. I like flaky pastries.
Me too.
But they go straight to my hips.
You have no hips.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. I have no money to buy flaky pastries.
Right. And so, like we said earlier, a flake can be someone who often cancels at the last minute.
Right.
Or they don't keep their promises. But you can also flake in terms of the verb.
Yes.
So you could say, oh, you know, I was supposed to meet my friend at 3, but she flaked on me.
Right, exactly. Hey, do you guys say flake out?
Yeah, I think you could.
Yeah, it's the same thing, right? It's just you add that out on the end of it, so you can flake out on your friends, flake out on.
Flake on.
Flake on, yeah. There's lots of different ways we use this. Or like Diana said, just flake is okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I got to flake tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes people might even call these people snowflakes.
Snowflakes.
Yeah, they're also a flake. And so, yeah, this is going to be the culture point for this lesson, calling people who don't really stand by their word, you know, flake, flaky, snowflake. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to the second part of the clip.
All right. Pisces make charming and magical friends, especially because they view life through rose-colored glasses. At their best, Pisces are attentive and inspiring. Compassionate and empathetic, they absorb and reflect the feelings of everyone they come into contact with. However, they can be gullible, self-pitying, out of touch with reality, addictive, clingy, and self-destructive.
Now, apparently, Pisces make charming and magical friends, especially because they view life through rose-colored glasses.
Okay, so rose here is pink.
Mm-hmm.
And pink is beautiful.
Very kind of romantic.
Romantic.
You know?
Everything looks good. I mean, imagine, you know, you're looking at some old dirty city. It's gray. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly someone gives you some, you know, pink glasses to put on. And suddenly, wow, it's such
Everything
looks great.
Uh-huh. So basically, someone who views life through rose-colored glasses will always see, you know, the glass half full, maybe almost full.
Almost full, yeah.
They're very optimistic. And because they're very optimistic, they're a little bit unrealistic, too.
That's the thing. I think that's the big difference for me is that, you know, you can be optimistic and still be realistic.
Yeah.
You know, but when you see life through rose-colored glasses, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, you're kind of in a dream world.
You're living in a fantasy.
You're living
right?
in a fantasy. Yeah.
Now, at their best, Pisces are attentive and inspiring, compassionate and empathetic.
Okay, so here's where we're going to get to the real analysis, right? We've got a few words here that are pretty close in meaning or seem pretty close in meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Compassionate, empathetic. You know, we always use these words to talk about, you know, your feelings toward your fellow human being.
Yeah,
good
someone
feelings.
Who cares a lot.
I care about you.
Yeah.
I will do good things to help you because you are my brother or my sister or my co-human.
Right. However, between these two words, there is a bit of a difference.
Mm.
So if you are compassionate, it means that you have a lot of concern, especially for those who are suffering.
Mm.
And you also have a lot of feelings of sympathy.
Yes. Okay. So I knew we were going to get to sympathy because usually when we talk about empathy, that's when we also need to talk about sympathy.
Right.
People
right.
always want to know, well, what's the difference?
Right. So if you have sympathy, then you are able to feel sorry for someone, especially if they are going through a hard time or something.
Mm.
However, if you are empathetic, it means that not only do you feel sorry for them, you also understand and share those feelings.
Right, exactly. So which one, Diana, would actually lead me to do something? Like, for example, if I saw, I recently went home to Canada and there were lots of homeless people.
Same as America.
There's a lot, you know, people seem to be surprised when we tell them that. But yeah, it's very, very true. And I always think the same thing, you know, like I'm sympathetic, I'm compassionate.
Yeah.
And I, you know, always give money.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I'm empathetic.
Mm,
and I'm not sure which one means actually doing something.
You know, I think someone who is compassionate is probably going to, you know, give that homeless person $5 or volunteer at some organization.
Right.
Because you do have to, like, show some concern.
Right.
And then you're willing to do things.
Okay, so enough about homeless people. Let's get back to just this empathy for a second, because there's lots of ways we can use empathetic or empathy from a language point of view.
Mm-hmm. All right, so empathy would be the ability to understand and share feelings with someone else. So empathetic is going to be the adjective, and empathize, usually empathize with, is the verb.
Okay, so unlike sympathize and sympathetic, you don't often use this word to describe yourself. That's the one thing that comes to my mind very, very quickly. If I said, like, you know, I'm sympathetic to your situation, I wouldn't say I'm empathetic to your situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, usually this kind of thing is you're not describing yourself. You might be describing someone else. Like, for example, my sister is a very empathetic person, and she always goes out of her way to understand other people.
Right. Well, you might not call yourself empathetic, but you could say, I really empathize with your current situation. Mm. You know, I'd like to help out. Let me know how I can.
Right. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. So as the verb, you can say, this is what I'm doing, but I would suggest not saying, you know, I am empathetic.
Right.
It just doesn't sound, it makes you sound arrogant. And if you're arrogant, you're probably not very empathetic. It just doesn't make sense.
Right, right. All right, now we close this lesson with, quite a few flaws here. So Pisces can be gullible,
okay,
self-pitying, out of touch with reality, which makes sense because of the rose-colored glasses thing.
Right.
Addictive, clingy, and self-destructive.
Okay, let's start with gullible.
Okay, so they believe things pretty easily.
Yeah, they believe whatever you tell them.
right.
When I was young, I used to love gullible people.
Yeah.
They were so fun to play with.
Right. So now, what about addictive?
Addictive. Well, you know, I think most people know addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, an addiction to drugs, an addiction to, well, like drugs comes to mind. Smoking, I guess, is a drug. Uh-huh. Coffee, also a drug.
Yeah.
But addictive, it kind of more describes, well, it could be the drug itself, but it could also be your personality,
right?
Like, I have an addictive personality, so I tend to like video games a lot.
Mm-hmm, right. So, yeah, the difference here is that something that is addictive means that you are likely to be addicted to it.
Mm.
But if you yourself are very addictive, like you have an addictive personality,
right,
it doesn't mean everybody all of a sudden likes you.
To you.
Right. It means that you are likely to be addicted to things such as, you know, alcohol, gambling. You know, all these kinds of things.
Okay, next one on here is clingy. Also not a great trait.
Mm-hmm. Right. So clingy is basically someone who's quite needy, very dependent on someone.
Well, I think sticky.
Sticky.
Right? Like,
yeah,
you know, a person is sticky, like they stick to other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because cling is another word that just kind of means hold on to, stick to.
Very tightly.
Very tightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very, very tightly.
And last but not least, we have self-destructive.
Okay, so we had self-pitying, now self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I think this one's pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
It, you know, you just do things that kind of don't help yourself.
Actually hurt yourself.
They actually hurt you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people with addictive personalities do have this this characteristic.
Mm-hmm, right. So these are people who will be addicted to behaviors such as, you know, taking drugs, other things I can think of that are not drugs or gambling, perhaps speeding all the time.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You know,
that's kind of addicting in terms of, you know, you get to go so fast, but then if you're doing drugs at the same time, that's not so good.
That's not so good. Yeah. Yeah. Neither of them, we are not condoning, we're not saying anything. But I mean, yeah, they don't have to be things like, you know, drugs or gambling. Could also be, you know, you quit your job a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
true. Or relationships, you know, you always destroy your relationship or follow the same patterns that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought these fish were swimming so freely, but it seems like they're just swimming around in the same kind of self-destructive circles again, just swimming around the bowl.
All right. So now that we have a better idea of our friend the Pisces, let's go ahead and listen to the entire clip.
All right.
Pisces is the old soul of the zodiac. As the final sign, it is said to have experienced the energy of every other sign before it. Pisces are sensitive and intuitive, and can become easily overloaded by crowds or overstimulating environments. It's often hard to pin them down, since they're so keen on swimming away to a place where they can experience some downtime and R&R. They may gain a reputation as flaky due to the way they swim in and out of your life. Pisces make charming and magical friends, especially because they view life through rose-colored glasses. At their best, Pisces are attentive and inspiring. Compassionate and empathetic, they absorb and reflect the feelings of everyone they come into contact with. However, they can be gullible, self-pitying, out of touch with reality, addictive, clingy, and self-destructive.
Well, Diana, I have this image in my mind now of a fish just kind of swimming around with you know, rose-colored glasses on, maybe going too fast.
Yeah, maybe he's smoking.
Maybe smoking. And, you know, like telling their friends, like, oh, yeah, I'll be there for dinner, but then swimming away to the other side. Like,
yeah, well, reminding me of the Little Mermaid now.
Yeah.
All right, so we hope you guys have learned a great deal from this lesson, vocab-wise and also Pisces-wise. So I think that's about it. You guys should definitely check out the grammar and culture point. Let us know if this describes you or your Pisces friend accurately.
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't come across as too negative. Like, there were some pretty good positive points in here today.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just that, you know, again, certain zodiac signs just tend to, you know, portray certain characteristics.
Mm-hmm, right.
Anyway, guys, as always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That would be very nice,
someone to understand. For more English podcasts, stay tuned to 开言英语每天听.